I've asked you to open in your Bibles, if you would please, to Romans chapter 10. Glory be to God. That's right after Romans chapter 9, if you don't know where it is. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's with my human not going over tonight. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I'll keep trying. I'm not a quitter. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been talking about Jesus' all-powerful name in this series. Amen. Lesson number one, we talked about the importance of praying to the Father in Jesus' name. We saw don't pray for Jesus' sake. We saw we don't pray in our own name. We saw we don't pray to Jesus. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. John 16:23, Jesus said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Lesson number two, we talked about Jesus using his name. We saw the importance of using his name in prayer. It was a bit of a review of the lesson that went before that. We saw what Jesus and what Paul taught about using his name against Satan and demon powers. If we don't do it, God's not going to do it for us. God's already done everything he's going to do about the devil in this dispensation. Amen. It's up to us to use the name of Jesus and resist the devil concerning our families, our bodies, our minds, our finances, in every realm of our existence. Amen. We must use the name of Jesus against Satan and demon powers, or they'll run roughshod all over us. Amen. Hallelujah. We saw where Jesus inherited his name in lesson number three. Saw that it wasn't in heaven. Saw that it wasn't in earth. Gave you scripture for it all. We saw he inherited his name in hell, the 3 days that he spent in downtown eternity. And I say that respectfully on our behalf. Amen. It was no cakewalk. I don't say that disrespectfully when I refer to the bowels of hell as a downtown eternity. But I told you he walked right down the middle of Main Street in downtown eternity, and he kicked the gates of hell right off their hinges, and he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave away from the devil, came back from the earth. Amen. Only one ever do such a thing, and said, I am he who liveth. I was dead. Certainly I was. I was dead. But now I'm alive and I live forevermore, and I possess the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he said, therefore now go you into all the nations and preach and teach and deliver from Satan and demon powers and every other good thing. Amen. You know that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, he said, even as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth for three days. You know that means that Jonah was dead in that whale, in that fish. He wasn't a whale, he was a fish. We don't know if it was a whale or not. It could have been a whale. But the Bible doesn't say a whale. He said, even as Jonah was in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be. Was Jesus dead? Do we believe he died and rose from the dead? Jonah died. You see that in Jonah chapter 2. Just a little rabbit trail that came up in my spirit. Amen. Jonah died in the belly of that fish. And he too went into the bowels of hell, and he was resurrected. Amen. And when he repented for running from God, did you ever notice God told Jonah to go to Nineveh? He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He went the other way. He went to Tarshish. He's running in the other direction. And that great fish swallowed him up. Where did the fish spit him up? At Nineveh. As soon as that fish swallowed him, he turned around, changed directions, and started taking Jonah right toward Nineveh, where God told him to be, and spit him right up on the shore of Nineveh. So if you're out of God's will tonight, all you have to do is repent. You'll get spit right up in the center of God's will for your life. Amen? But we're talking about Jesus. That was just a little side message, and there'll be no additional offering taken for that. I ask you to go to Romans chapter 10. Amen? Let me just tell you the last time we were together, we talked about righteousness, didn't we? Oh, yeah. What it is. Oh, yes. And what a revelation it was. Amen. Righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority. All because of Jesus. Not because of some intrinsic goodness on our part, because we don't have any intrinsic goodness. Amen. Outside of Christ, Paul told the Corinthians, we are foolish, we are weak, we are base, and we are despised. And we have no grounds for glorying in God's presence. But the Bible also says he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be made sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We saw that righteousness is a gift. The ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority is a gift that is given to us by God. The Bible says in Romans 5:17, as many as receive abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness shall reign and rule in life by Christ Jesus. Amen. We saw the importance of receiving the gift of righteousness. A lot of believers are the righteousness of God, but they haven't received it yet, and they're not walking in it. They're walking in condemnation. They're living with a worthlessness consciousness, not a righteousness consciousness. Amen? We have the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority because of Jesus. God is love. He's not wrath, and He doesn't want us living in condemnation. He loves us. Amen? He's not some white-robed, moody, puritanical monster looking over the balcony of heaven looking to get us. He's loved, the Bible says. He who loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God loves us, and He gave us His only begotten Son, so that He could die for us. It's the great exchange. He died for our sins, and when we accept it, He gives us His righteousness. Righteousness, the Greek word, means equity, innocence, and holiness. Equity means to have the same standing as someone else. Because of Jesus, we have the same standing with God as Jesus. This bears repeating. You can't hear this enough. Amen? In the world where the devil's constantly after your soul to condemn you for every little dumb thing you do. Amen? The voice of condemnation is never of God. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are seated, Paul said, at the Father's right hand in heavenly places in Him. It's a place of dominion, it's a place of dignity, and it's a place of tremendous authority. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. Amen? Hallelujah! Humanity is represented in the Trinity tonight as I speak to you. Humanity is represented in the Trinity. There's a man at the Father's right hand, representing, the devil resents it, we don't, representing His body on the earth. We're seated at the Father's right hand in Him, Paul told the Ephesians. He's a man, a flesh and bone man. 100% God, 100% man, seated at the Father's right hand, representing born-again humanity. Therefore, humanity, you are represented in the Trinity tonight. Doesn't sound like a God of wrath to me. Me sounds like a God of love. Equity, righteousness means to have equity with God, the same standing with God as Jesus. To have the same innocence before God as Jesus. To have the same holiness with God as Jesus. But you've got to take it by faith. Amen? Because you don't look it all the time. You don't feel it all the time. You don't act it all the time. But it's true all the time. The Bible says if we blow it when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can step out into the realm of righteousness all over again. And it's justified, never sinned. Because we're justified in Christ. Justified, never sinned. Hallelujah. Amen. That was last week. This is this week. We're still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but we're going to go in another direction tonight. Amen? And we're going to be talking about the power of confessing God's Word in Jesus' name. Amen? Lesson number 6 in our 6-part series. Right there in Romans chapter 10. Hallelujah. You know, our confession of faith doesn't stop once we confess Jesus as Lord. How'd you get saved, by the way? I know I asked you to go there at Romans chapter 10. We'll get there. How did we do it, Helen? We confessed with our mouth. We said in one form or another, we said, Jesus, You are my choice. Look what Paul said right here, Romans 10:9. He said, if thou shalt confess, it actually means to say, with your mouth. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, you did it with your mouth. Amen? You know, a lot of Christians have a problem with confessing the promises of God. They say disrespectful things like, as I've said to you many times before, oh, are you a name it and a claim it? I always say, I'd rather be a name it and a claim it than to doubt it and do without it. Jesus was a name it and claim it. Kenneth Hagin didn't invent these principles. Kenneth Copeland didn't invent these principles. These came out of the mind of Christ, these principles of speaking forth the Word of God for whatever it is we need or whatever it is we need to be rid of in our lives. Amen? The same way you get saved is the same way you're going to receive as proficiently from God as He desires for you to in every realm of your existence. The same way you got saved, and the same way God answered your salvation prayer, because you spoke something forth by the words of your mouth, God's going to answer every prayer that you pray. Did you get what I just said? It's not only important what we pray, it's important what we say. Paul just said right there, the way you got saved was you said it. That's how you got your salvation prayer answered. You said something. And that's how you're going to get, that's how we're going to get every prayer answered. We're going to have to say something. Look at the next verse. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now again, some Christians get offended, and they say, I don't believe in that confession business that Kenneth Copeland preaches. I say, oh yes you do. If you're born again, you do. If you're born again, you do believe in the confession of faith principle. You do believe in the confession of faith doctrine. Now, are you listening or are you reading? Hallelujah. Amen? People who say, I don't believe in the confession of faith doctrine, that word of faith movement. Born again people have said it to me, I don't believe it. I say, you're born again? Yeah. How'd you get saved? I asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Then you don't even know that you believe in it. But I'm here today to tell you that you do. Hallelujah. Sent to God to enlighten you and to cheer you up. Amen? Without confession, there can be no salvation. Amen? All Christians believe in confession of faith. Some just don't realize it yet. Amen? Go over there, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hallelujah. Christians who reject the confession principles of God's Word, once they're born again, remain baby Christians all their lives. I said, Christians who reject the principles of faith, confession of faith principles, once they're born again, stay baby Christians all their lives. You can go to seminary for 16 years and be pastoring for 40 years. If you reject the principles that Jesus and Paul and Peter and James and John taught concerning the words of your mouth, you're still a baby Christian. Sure, you can be. You can be saved in 60 and still be a baby Christian. I know people who have been saved longer than I've been alive. And I talk to them. They don't believe the most fundamental doctrines of the Bible. Amen? This is a fundamental doctrine of Jesus Christ right here. This is how it all began for you. You confessed with your mouth and believed with your heart that God rose Jesus from the dead, and you were supernaturally birthed into the spirit realm. In the same way you got saved, it's the same way you're going to get your prayers answered. We'll look at some scriptures here tonight. Christianity, you're in Hebrews 3. Christianity is confession. Say that with me. Say, Christianity is confession. Christianity. Hebrews chapter 3, right there in verse 1. Look what Paul wrote to the Hebrews. Wherefore, holy brethren. Oh, say that's me.
That's me.
Holy brethren.
Hallelujah.
Wherefore, holy brethren. Wherefore, righteous brethren. Wherefore, innocent, holy brethren who have equity in the same standing with God as Jesus Christ. Paul called us holy. Not going to be holy when we get to heaven. We're holy now. He made him who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf that we might be made the righteousness of God in him now. Right now. If you were to die and go to heaven right now, you would find you're no more righteous in heaven, no more holy in heaven than you were on earth. That's what Paul taught. That's what Jesus taught. That's what the Bible teaches. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. The apostle and high priest of our profession. Very interesting here. That word profession is the exact same word that Paul used when he said, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The word profession is just interpreted differently here, but if you have a Hebrew or a Greek lexicon on your laptop like I do, all you have to do is right-click on it twice and it brings up the same word definition as confession from Romans chapter 10. It's the exact same Greek word. Jesus as the apostle and high priest of our confession is what the Bible's actually saying. Amen? That word confession is actually homologio. Homologio. I'm going to give you the definition. You're going to like it. It means to acknowledge verbally and to give thanks according to the covenant. To acknowledge verbally and to give thanks according to the covenant. Well, what covenant? The one you're holding in your lap tonight. Amen? To acknowledge verbally and to give thanks according to the covenant. Jesus Christ is the apostle and high priest of our acknowledging verbally and giving thanks to God according to the covenant. That's how faith works. You find a verse of scripture in the Bible where God's promised you something? That's why Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, then you'll know what you can ask, then you'll know what you can ask, then you'll ask what you will, and it'll be granted to you. If you know what the Bible says about healing for your body, healing for your finances, healing for your family, you can take any of the Bible promises before God, and you can give Him praise and thanks for those promises being manifest on your behalf in Jesus' strong name, and they will come to pass. But you have to speak them forth with the words of your mouth. You can't just leave it to God. Oh, if He wants to heal me, He will. Oh, if He wants to save Mama, He will. Oh, if He wants to help me with this financial need, He will. No, you need to go to the Word and find out that God does want to help you with sickness in your body. Amen? God, the Bible says in Matthew 8:16, when the evening time was come, they brought unto Him many who were sick and possessed of the devil, and He cast out the spirits and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities, He bore our sicknesses, and by His stripes we are healed. Now we can take those healing promises before the Father, ask Him for a manifestation of the promise in our body. You know, it's never God's will for you to be sick. It's wrong for people to teach that God uses sickness to teach or to discipline or to correct. Jesus said in the mouths of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. You won't find one. Never mind two or three confirming witnesses. You won't find one verse of Scripture where God made anybody sick in the Old or the New Testament. I read the whole thing, many parts of it, very many times. You won't find one where God made anybody sick to teach them anything. God uses His Word to teach. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that God uses the Word. The Word is profitable for reproof, rebuke, correction, and instruction in righteousness, not sickness. We can take healing Scripture, go to the Father, ask for a manifestation, and then begin to speak forth, by His stripes I am, begin to confess according to the covenant. Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession of faith. If we'll speak it on earth, He'll back us up in heaven. That's what He meant when He said, whatever you bind on earth, I'll back it up in heaven. If you take authority over sickness with the words of your mouth and bind it from your body, from your life, I'll back you up. Matthew 18:18. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll back you up from heaven. Loose healing by taking healing verses of Scripture, speaking them over yourself. And if you'll keep your words in line with your prayer, you'll see supernatural manifestations. You'll see a parade of supernatural manifestations in your life. If you'll just keep your... I'm talking to myself too. I say you all the time, but I mean me. I'm not telling you to apply principles we don't apply to our own lives every day. Hallelujah. Amen? It's so important that we keep our words in line with our prayers. You can't pray one way and talk another. You cancel your prayers. That's speaking against the Word of God. If you find Scripture where God promises to deliver and to save your children, such as Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and delivered and made whole, and so will your household. And take that verse of Scripture to the Father and ask Him for a manifestation. In Jesus' strong name, save my baby! According to Acts 16:31, in Jesus' strong name, and turn around and start saying with your mouth, I don't know if it's going to happen. You just canceled your prayer. You're not in agreement with the Word anymore. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? Amen. You can't walk in agreement with God if you're speaking against His Word. There's only one way to walk in agreement with God, and that's to walk in agreement with His Word. He said in His Word He'd do it. He's the apostle and high priest of the confession of our faith. If we'll keep our words in line with the precious, holy, written Word of God, we will see a manifestation of whatever the promise is we're standing on. Amen? Amen. You getting anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. And I'm going to tell you, hallelujah, this word profession, this word is actually confession. You see that now. Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our profession, or our confession. W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. W.E. Vine was a New Testament scholar, a Greek scholar. He could read and speak, and he was qualified to teach Greek in any major university in the world. People clamored for this man to teach Greek in their universities. He could have a job in any country in the world, any university in the world practically that he wanted. He had such an understanding of the Greek language. Amen. He said that word confess means to declare openly by way of speaking out freely, such confession being the effect of deep conviction of facts. Let me give that to you again. It's a little long, but it's good. Amen. That word confession, remember Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession. He said confession means to declare openly by way of speaking out freely. We need to not be ashamed of speaking our faith and speaking what we're believing God for. Such confession being the effect of deep conviction of facts. And he's referring to Bible facts. He was a Bible scholar. Amen? In other words, if we really believe the Bible, we will speak the promises of the Bible in Jesus' name. There's only one way to know if you're believing or not. There's only one way to know if you're in faith or not. There's only one way to know if you're in faith for your family. There's only one way to know if you're in faith for healing in your body. There's only one way to know if you're in faith for restoration of your marriage, salvation of your loved ones. There's only one way to know if you're in faith or not. Does anybody remember what it is? You listen to the way you're talking. If your mouth is in line with Scripture, you're in faith. If your mouth isn't in line with Scripture, you're in unbelief. It's so simple, even I can understand it. Listen to the way you're talking. Someone said to me, on more than one occasion, I've had people say to me, Pastor, how do I know if I'm in faith or not? Say, listen to the way you're talking. Are you keeping your tongue in line with the promises of God? Or is your tongue running rabbit trails every time the devil challenges you and says, you're not going to get that healing. Those hot flashes are never going to leave. Your daughter's never going to be saved. Your mother's never going to be healed. Your son's never going to get out of prison. The devil learned these principles when he was in heaven with God. When he was heaven's worship leader and his name was Lucifer, he learned the importance of speaking in line with what you believe in. He learned it from God. Everything God ever has done in this earth or any other planet in space or in heaven, he did by the words of his mouth. In the very book of beginnings, in Genesis chapter 1, 11 times our Father God said something. And it came to pass, and it's still happening today. Let there be light. You get up this morning, was the sun still up there? Not because God believed it when he said it. You know, the Bible says that we're created in God's image and in God's likeness. Paul told the Ephesians, as children of God, be imitators thereof. Children speak like their daddy. They act like their daddy, don't they? Our daddy does everything he does. Our Father God, our spiritual Father. The Father of mercies, not the Father of wrath. He's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, Paul told the Corinthians. He does everything he does by the words of his mouth. Every miracle Jesus performed, he performed by the words of his mouth. Paul said that Jesus is our example in all things. Hallelujah. Well, if your prayers haven't been getting answered as proficiently as you want them to, are you twigging on to something here tonight? Maybe you've been speaking against your prayers. You can't pray one way. Jesus said so, and go off and talk another. You'll cancel your prayers. Here again, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. This is good preaching. Hallelujah. It'll change your life if you'll let it. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, this is Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. That's that word again. Homologio. That word that means to acknowledge verbally and to give thanks according to the covenant. That word profession is confession. What confession do we hold fast to? We hold fast to the confession of who we are in Christ. Number one, amen? Who we are in Christ. He made him who... I don't walk around saying, I'm what a worm I am. I'm just waiting for God to squish me. I don't have a worthlessness consciousness. I'm not going to let Jesus die in vain in any area of my existence. No matter how many times I fall down, I'm getting back up. And I'm going to walk out my righteousness. Amen? God doesn't count the falling down. He counts the getting up. He's a faith God. Amen? I said He doesn't count the falling down. He counts the getting up. And if you get up one more time, then you fall down. Every time you fall down, you're going to make it. The Bible says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we should be thinking. That's what we should be saying about ourselves. Not what worthless, damnable little worms we are. Bunch of sinners saved by grace. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we were sinners, but we have been saved by grace. And that word grace, by the way, means God's ability in you to do what you aren't able to do without Him. He did it all for you. Righteousness is a gift. That's why Romans 5:17 says, as many as receive abundance of grace and the free gift, receive the free gift of righteousness, shall reign and rule in life by the one man, Christ Jesus. You receive it tonight? Say, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm not a worm. I'm a child of God. Created in His image. And in His likeness. As a matter of fact, God loves me as much as He loves Jesus. And that's in John 17:23. Jesus' last prayer, He said, Father, let them know You love them as much as You love me. Doesn't sound like a wrathful God squishing a bunch of worms to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's good news. We need to watch our confession of faith in that area. Amen. We need to develop a righteousness consciousness and free ourselves from a worthlessness consciousness. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to confess who we are because of Jesus. We need to confess the rights and privileges that are ours in Christ. We gave you a whole list of them. If you didn't get one, they're over here. 250 New Testament promises we sent you out of here with these 2 weeks ago. Amen. If you didn't get one of these, amen, you're going to live in spiritual darkness for the rest of your life until you do. Amen. We encourage you. Grab one on the way out. 250 New Testament promises. Amen. Somebody said there's 33,000 promises in the Bible. There can't be. There's not even 33,000 verses. There's basically 250 New Testament promises, and they cover every realm of your existence. Amen. You need to meditate on them and speak them over yourself in any area where you're lacking. Find out an area where God's agreed to meet a need that you have off that list. Go to what they will give you the references and send you right to the Bible on them. Amen. Start meditating and speaking forth what God has agreed to do about your problem and watch your problem change. Jesus Christ is the apostle and high priest of the confession of our faith. Amen. Confession's the key to miracles. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Hallelujah. Well, I'm getting helped.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 12. Confession is the key to miracles. Amen. When you get God's promises into your heart concerning finances, family, health, whatever, start speaking them out of your mouth. That's when things will stop happening to you and start happening for you. Did you hear that? You get the promises of God into your heart. Begin to release them out of your mouth over the area of your greatest need. Whatever your needs are, as I always say, whatever you need to be rid of, find out what God's agreed to do in the Bible. Grab hold of it, meditate on it, begin to speak it forth, and things will stop happening to you in the areas of your greatest weakness and start happening for you. There's two amens. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus had just cast a demon out of a deaf and dumb demon out of a human being. And the scribes and the Pharisees came unglued, as they always did. And they said that he was casting out unclean spirits by Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. You know what it literally says? You know what they really said to him? What they literally said to him when they said that you cast out spirits by Beelzebub? Beelzebub was the dung god to the Jewish people. That's what Beelzebub means. They said, Jesus, when he cast out spirits, they said he's full of dung. We'd say it differently today. I'd never say that to God. Imagine saying that to Jesus. That's what they said to him. They said, you're full of dung. Jesus said, you better watch the words of your mouth. Amen? And that's when he taught them on blasphemy. He said, there's all different types of blasphemy and it can all be forgiven. Blasphemy against God, forgivable. Blasphemy against the Son of God, forgivable. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, who enabled me to cast that spirit out of the person, that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That is unforgivable. Amen? You can't be forgiven when you knowingly and deliberately speak against the person of the Holy Spirit and say that people in the earth today who still perform signs, wonders, and miracles in Jesus' name are doing it by the power of the devil. Jesus said that's ridiculous, number one. Amen? He said a kingdom divided against itself will fall. He said if I'm casting out unclean spirits because I have an unclean spirit and because I'm full of the devil, then I'm the devil and I'm tearing down my own kingdom. He said, you folks don't even make sense. You folks don't even make sense, you religious nuts. Amen? So he rebuked them. And then he talked to them about the power of their words. And look what he said in Matthew 12:33. He said, either make the tree good and its fruit good. See, I'm a good tree because I produce good fruit. Amen? Casting spirits out of people's good. Setting them free is good. Don't leave them in their oppression or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. He said, oh, generation of vipers, he said, you bunch of snake faces, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Look what he said. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever's in your heart is going to come out of your life, and it's out of your mouth, it's going to come to pass in your life. He's talking about the power of words here. Amen? A good man out of the good treasure, there's only one good treasure in this earth, and it's God's word. He's talking about putting the word in your heart so it'll come out of your mouth. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Talking about himself, talking about us. And an evil man out of the evil treasure. That word evil, by the way, is porneo, and it's where we get our word pornography. That's where our word pornography came from, evil. He said, you put evil stuff in your heart, like pornography, romance novels, trashy newspapers. We don't even bring a newspaper into our house. Amen? Newspapers and television controlled by the devil. The Bible's... Now, I look at headlines. Don't get me wrong. I'm not all hung up. But we don't sit there pouring over the newspaper, putting it in us, because the Bible says, Paul said, Satan's the small god of this world. G, small g. He's the god of this world. They call him the god of this world and the prince of this world. Satan controls the media in this earth, not God, not Jesus. Put the TV on. Put the cable TV on. Put the internet on. Pick up a newspaper and read it. God's not in control, in charge of any of that stuff. I'm not saying God doesn't providentially govern the world, because he does. But right now, Satan is the god of this world. We are so careful what we put our eyes on. We watch television selectively. I'll look at the newspapers selectively, but we don't subscribe to them. Don't even want a subscription to Reader's Digest anymore. Stuff used to be good and positive. It's not anymore. Amen? Don't even listen to Walt. We don't even listen to Walt Disney. Even though the stuff's rated G. It's nothing but sorcery and witchcraft anymore. Hallelujah. You can't trust the name Walt Disney anymore. You never really could. You go all the way back to the 50s and you're dealing with the Sorcerer's Apprentice. That was a bunch of baloney being pumped into the souls of our children in the name of innocence. But that's what happens when you're not born again. You don't have any discernment. You don't know how to exercise your senses and discern between good and evil. Well, we're talking about the power of words here. Amen. Jesus said you've got to be watchful and put only good stuff in your heart, because whatever's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth and come to pass in your life. Look at verse 36. He said, I say unto you, every idle word. That is a really interesting word. The word is argos, A-R-G-O-S, and it means every word that is non-productive towards the kingdom of God. Every word, every idle word, that word idle means every word that is non-productive toward the kingdom of God, men shall speak, they'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. You know what God's going to do? Probably. He's going to take one of these little things like I'm carrying in my pocket, a little digital recorder of some sort. I don't know how he's going to do it. But he's going to play back for us every word we spoke on this earth that was idle. inoperative and non-productive towards the kingdom of God. I'm preaching into this little digital recorder right here. Amen? Somehow, he's going to play back for us every word that we spoke. He's going to show us when we stand before what the Bible calls the beam of judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:10 and in Romans 14:10. He's going to play back for us every single word we spoke while we're on this earth, and we're going to have rewards given to us or taken away based on those words. We're going to have rewards given to us for the words we spoke that were productive towards the kingdom, and we're going to have rewards taken away for words that we spoke that were non-productive towards the kingdom. It's a little wake-up call going on in here tonight. Shake them and wake them. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying. I say to you, every idle, non-productive word that men shall speak, they'll give account in the day of judgment. Look right here. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Amen? Listen, you maintain a good scriptural confession, you're going to bear good fruit in your life. Amen? You speak the devil's thoughts, you speak the devil's words, and you're going to bring forth bad fruit. Amen? You're going to be sick all the time. You're going to be broke all the time. Your family's never going to get saved. You're going to die prematurely, and you're going to be miserable for the short amount of time that you were able to stay here. Amen? Jesus said, I place before you this day life and death. This is in Deuteronomy 30:19. I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. You've got to choose it. And you do it by choosing proper words. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And he who loveth it shall eat the fruit thereof. Love what? You love life, you'll speak life. And you'll eat the fruit of life. If you love death, you'll speak death. And you'll eat the fruit of death. Amen? You'll die prematurely is what you'll probably do. Amen? Most folks do. Amen? For the most part, we're not living half as long as God wants us to live. And it's not His fault. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen? Well, glory be to God. Go over there to Mark chapter 11. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil tell you God's using sickness to teach you. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who His own self bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness. By His stripes we were healed back there at Calvary. If you were healed back there at Calvary, then you are healed today. That's one thing the body of Christ needs to get a hold of. And we're not going to keep you much longer here. Amen. You'll be out of here within the hour. We need to get a hold of that. We're not the sick trying to get healed. We are the healed, according to 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:16 and 17, and innumerable other verses that I could, but I won't take the time to quote for you here. We are the healed, and Satan's trying to make us sick. If we'll open our mouths and tell him, Jack, you ain't doing that here, honey. It's not going to happen here. I mean that respectfully. The Bible says, by His stripes I'm healed. This is an illegal attack of sickness. Take it off me in Jesus' name. But if he can convince you that God's using sickness to teach you something, you ever notice when God's using sickness to teach you something, He never tells you what it is? Well, have you ever noticed? I've asked people who have said to me, well, God's teaching me with this sickness. I said, what's He teaching you? I've asked people, they said, I don't know. I said, I'd find another teacher. I'd find another teacher. The teacher? Do you understand what I'm teaching tonight?
Yeah.
Praise, that's my job, is to communicate. I don't know what He's teaching me. I'd hire some new help if I were you. God doesn't use sickness to teach. If the devil can convince you that God's using sickness to teach you, and you'll just sit there and take it. If you believe that God's putting it on you to teach you, who in their right mind is going to resist God? Hallelujah. We could close on that and have a party. Hallelujah. Jesus said you can have what you say. You tell the devil you back off. You've got scripture for healing. You've got scripture that He wants every one of your family members to go to heaven and not to hell for any reason. God is not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:9. He wants to save your whole family But you're going to have to stand on it. You're going to have to keep your mouth in line with it. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's why we watch what we say over this church, over this brand new congregation. People go through that door. We've had more people, have we not, after the service, walk through that door and look at me and Barbara and say, "Great service, Pastor. I'm just so sad that people aren't coming. I just stand there and keep my mouth shut. I'm not agreeing with that. That's not what I say." Jesus said to us, the Holy Spirit said, "You concentrate on the filled chairs. I'll concentrate on filling the empty ones." Oh, yes, sir. And can I get your beverage while I'm up? That's what I'm going to say over this. I'm not going to agree with people who make negative confessions like that. People who have come to us, how many times I've told you this over and over, you'll see, Pastor, the cape is so hard for Jesus. I'm not agreeing with it. I'll just stand there. I don't want to hurt anybody and offend anybody, but I'll just stand there until they shut up and leave. Please. Amen? I'm not agreeing with that. The cape isn't hard for Jesus. God is not willing that any should perish. It's God's will to save everybody on this peninsula. And that's what we're standing on. Amen? And we're not going to let the devil talk us out of it. We're not going to let the devil persuade us to talk ourselves out of it with the words of our mouth. Are you there in Mark chapter 11? Is this making sense to you? Hallelujah. Mark chapter 11, look what Jesus said right here in verse 22. Jesus answered and said to his disciples, "Have faith in God." He actually said, "Have the God kind of faith." What kind of faith is that? The kind that works. Amen? And then he demonstrated for them in verse 23 how it works. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say..." I bet you everybody in here has that word. Anybody who's been going to this church for any amount of time, you have that word circled in your Bible, don't you?
Yes.
"Whosoever shall say unto this mountain..." And I've showed you in the past from Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, that a mountain in the Bible is almost always symbolic of human obstacles and human problems. Amen? "Whosoever shall say," circle that word "say, unto this mountain or human obstacle, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe," circle that word "believe" if you would, "that those things which he saith," woo, circle that one, "shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith," not "prayeth." Do you see that? Three times Jesus referred to saying something. One time Jesus referred to believing something. You see that, don't you? Three times he made reference to saying what you believe. One time he made reference to believing what you believe. See, in the body of Christ, traditionally, for centuries, we've had the believing part down. We've done real good. We believe it's in there. We believe it. But we haven't had the saying part down. And Jesus said you have to do three times more saying than believing if you're going to get your prayers answered. Isn't that what he said right there? And you know what else? What else that's saying right there? Preachers and teachers are going to have to do three times more preaching and teaching on the saying part than on the believing part. We've been negligent as ministers to teach and preach only on the believing part, and we've overlooked the saying part. Now, I haven't, because I'm perfect. But there's others out there. Why don't you laugh at my jokes that way? Hallelujah. I need to repent for that. There's only one perfect man. It's not me. Amen? Even Elvis knew that. I was telling Brother Maurice last week. He came out of the service and he said, "I'm all shook up." And I knew he was talking about Elvis. And I reminded him of something else Elvis said. You know, a bunch of women in one of his concerts one night, a whole long row of 30 or 40 women unfurled a huge banner. And it said all across the front of the auditorium, all these women holding it up, and it said, "Elvis is king." And Elvis read that. And he put his head down. He said, "It ain't true. There's only one king, baby, and it ain't me." Right in his concert. Hallelujah. Elvis loved Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Elvis was a respectful man. He got all goofed up. But he loved Jesus. The devil was intimidated by him. He was supposed to be leading worship on this earth. He is now in heaven. Amen? You don't go to heaven for being a rock. You don't go to hell for being a rock and roll star. You go to hell for rejecting Jesus. Amen? Well, hallelujah. Jesus said you're going to have to do three times more saying than believing. That's why he's the apostle and high priest of our confession, not the apostle and high priest of our praying. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let me just read to you Isaiah chapter 43. In verse 6, you put it in your notes. Hallelujah. You go over to James chapter 3. Well, I quote for you Isaiah 43:26. God said, put me in remembrance. I shouldn't call him God. He told me to call him Father. I told you that recently, didn't I? He kind of reproved me. I kept calling him God, God, God one day. And I heard him speak right into my spirit so clear. He said, call me Father. Woo! Forgive me, Father. Hallelujah. The Father said, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. That's Isaiah 43:26. Amen. He said, come. Put me in remembrance. Of what? Of what? There's only one thing we can put him in remembrance of, and that is his precious, holy, written word. God said, come with Scripture. Put me in remembrance of whatever's written in the word. Plead your case. He said, come, we'll plead together. Come, let's talk about this. He said, declare thou that thou mayest be justified. What do you need? Show me where it is in the Bible. I'll do it for you. But you have to show him where it is in the word. You've got to show him what you're putting your faith on. Amen? Are you there in James chapter 3? We're going to have to close. Boy, I could go on and on and on. Hallelujah. Listen, I just want to talk, just before we read James 3 together, let me just remind you that the Bible says, if you have sickness in your body tonight, and the devil's been telling you God's trying to teach you something with it, or he's trying to glorify, how is God going to get glory out of you being flat on your back? Where do you ever find once in the Bible that Jesus or God was ever going to be glorified by any... Where did Jesus ever smite someone with sickness and the crowd burst into praise? Where? Not one. But we found no less than 6 or 8 times, I believe, about 2 or 3 months ago, I went through them all with you in the New Testament, where every time Jesus healed someone, the crowds burst forth in giving praise and glory to God, and not one verse in all of Scripture says that God ever got glory out of anybody being sick. But people constantly glorified God when Jesus healed them. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace of mind was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. If we were healed, we are healed. Barbara and I were married 19 years ago, therefore we are married today. Amen? That's why I say, I don't care if you don't want me. I'm yours. But she does want me. I don't really say that because I watched the confession in my mouth. I don't need her starting to not want me. Amen? Hallelujah. I knew she was my wife as soon as she passed my typing test. Amen? Hallelujah. 90-something words a minute. I was on my knee. I knew it was the will of God. Hallelujah. Matthew 8:16-17 says, you're over there in James chapter 3. I'm going to talk to you just very, very quickly. And then I'm going to pray a prayer over you if you have sickness in your body. The Bible says, when the evening time was come, they brought unto him many who were possessed of demons and those who were sick. And he cast out the spirits. Every one of them. He cast every spirit out and he healed all, not some, all who were healed, in order that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, who said himself took our infirmities. See, sickness is a penalty for sin. Did he take your sin? Who his own self. Did he take your sin? He made him who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He took our sin. He took the penalty for sin. What a rat God would be. And he's not. So just calm down. What a rat he would be to put that on his boy and then turn around and put it on you. What a hypocrite. God's not a rat. God's not a hypocrite. He's love. He allowed Jesus to bear the penalty for our sins, and we don't have to bear it now. If you have sickness in your body, you need to know. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self, Boy, it's what it says, bore our sins in his body on the tree, on the cross. The cross is made out of a tree. That we being now dead to sin, the sins you committed today, if you confess them, you're dead to them. Sin no longer will have dominion over you, Romans 6:14. That we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness, by his stripes we were and we are healed. Get a hold of that! And that tumor will go right out of your body. Amen? You just keep chucking it. It'll be gone. Amen? That growth, maybe under your armpit or in your breast. It has to go. It has to go. Well, you take this in the right spirit. Hemorrhoids are a curse of the law. I'm just speaking by the Spirit of God. They're called emrods. And the Philistines were cursed with them. Every time they came across the Philistines, they got hemorrhoids and mice galore. You can tell the mice that are in your basement, get out, unless you like the cat to have them down there to kill them and eat them and have something to do while you're in church. But if you want them to go, they have to go. But let me just say this. Hemorrhoids are called emrods in the Bible. They're a curse of the law. They're in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And the Bible says that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. I know you're laughing, but hallelujah. Whoever's got hemorrhoids ain't laughing all the time over it. It's painful. It's a curse of the law. It's not God loves you. And He wants you to take authority. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us in abundance. Amen? Now, I may have made you uncomfortable, but you're not as uncomfortable as whoever's suffering with hemorrhoids right now. God says, be healed! Just reach out and receive it by faith. Amen? And they'll begin to dissolve. You just in private, just walk around. Drive around in the car. No more hemorrhoids in Jesus' name. Someone in here, I'm not going to ask you to tell us who you are. Wouldn't that be stupid? Like you'd tell us. I'm not being lewd or disrespectful. I'm speaking by the Spirit of grace. Someone in here is suffering from hemorrhoids and you didn't know. You don't have to. I don't know who you are, but you know who you are. And you can say, hemorrhoids, go. In Jesus' strong name, Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law. And then use wisdom. Stop eating so many white bread, white flour products. Pastry and donuts and white bread and get some grainy bread going through yourself. Amen? Quit putting God in position to have to heal you from something you keep doing to yourself. White flour. People in the Bible ate grainy breads. Amen? Make some adjustments. Amen? You're there in James chapter 3. We're talking about the words of our mouth. Amen? Did you get anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. James chapter 3 verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things just ought not to be. Amen? You can't pray one way and talk another. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No. Can the fig tree bear olive berries? No. The implied answer is no. Can a vine, a grapevine, bear figs? No. So can no fountain both yield salt and fresh water. You can't talk one way and pray another. It'll cancel your prayer. Amen? You're going to have what you say. I'm going to read to you as we close. If you'd stand up, please. Proverbs chapter 13. I'll just read it to you. Hallelujah. Jesus is trying to tell us that our words will either bless us or curse us. Amen? Folks who don't have this revelation, God gets the bum rap for everything that goes wrong in their lives, and it's not God's fault. God's not guilty. He's a good God. Amen? We need to get our mouths in line with the Scripture. Proverbs 13, verse 2 says, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Our words will bless us, or our words will curse us. Our words can bless or damn and curse our family. We need to watch how we speak over our children. I hear more parents speak about their children. That little monster, he'll never obey me. And I stand there thinking, you're right. You're right, and it's your fault, not his. Amen? Hallelujah. Find what God has to say. Find what God has to say. Let's just do this together, and we're going to sing a song, and we're going to be dismissed. Amen? We'll have Cheryl close with prayer after we sing a song. So I'm the righteousness of God.
I am the righteousness of God.
Now say it like you mean it. I am the righteousness of God. I can have what I say.
I can have what I say.
Jesus is
the apostle
and the high priest
of my confession.
I will watch what I say.
Holy Spirit,
stand guard
over the door of my mouth
and quicken me
every time
I speak against your word.
I
In Jesus' strong name. Hallelujah. And then we'll go out of here tonight just making sure that our mouths stay in line with our prayer, that our mouths stay in line with God's Word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. We're talking about the strong name of Jesus in this series. Amen. Jesus' name is not going to work for anybody who prays one way and talks another. Amen. Hallelujah. That's not us. Amen. We keep our mouths in line with the precious, holy, written Word of God. And that's how we do exploits in the earth. Jesus said in John 14:12, He said, the works that I do, ye shall do also. Only greater works you will do. Every miracle that Jesus ever performed, you go back and you read them through the New Testament. He said what He was going to do practically every time. Or He would say to somebody else who came for a miracle, be it unto you according to your faith. Do you believe I can do this? Yea, Lord. And He said, then be it unto you according to your faith. He said it to the woman with the issue of blood. He said it to the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. He said it to the 2 blind men in Matthew chapter 9. He said to the, in Mark chapter 9, the boy that was possessed of the demon that kept throwing him into the fire and the water. Jesus said to his father, all things are possible if only you believe. There's only one way to tell if you're believing or not. Listen to the way you're talking. Hallelujah. Say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Now shout, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good idea, Barbara. Thank you very much. Tell me what track this is on, and we'll just... Do we have the words to say to this mountain? Keeping in mind, hallelujah, that the mountain that Jesus talks about in Scripture is always symbolic of human problems. Amen. So let's sing. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then Cheryl will close with prayer.
I will say to the mountain that stands in my way,
be removed now and cast in the sea. I believe that those things which I say come to pass,
and have whatsoever I say.
I have whatsoever I say.